page one.
I thought you could spend a whole year on the first pasuk. Enough material here. Bereshis bara Elokim. Bereshit. The very famous Rashi. On page one, the first Rashi. Omer Rav Yitzchak. You see that? Lo yitzchak lahaskil et ha-toyel mechol yuzei lechem. The Torah is not a science book. The Torah is... What does the word Torah mean? Teaching. The Torah should begin Exodus 12. Why Exodus 12, Rabbi Joel? That's the first mitzvah given to the Yidden, the Kiddush HaChodesh.
Yes.
Umata posa bebreishis. So why did you begin with a science lesson? You hear Rashi's question? Torah is a book of laws. So Rashi says, "Mishim koach masav higid la'amo." There's a pasuk in Tehillim. The power of his awesome deeds, he tells his people, "Losais lahem nachlas goyim," to give us the inheritance of the nations. Look how timely the parsha is. Shem yoimu umas oigam Yisrael listem atem. If the PLO and Abu Mamzer and Obama will say to us, listem atem, you are occupiers. Shekivashtem arza shiva goyim. You took away, you stole the land of the poor Arabs. Occupiers. What are we supposed to answer? Hey, Marmim Lahem, we are supposed to say, Kala Aret Shalakudish Baruch Hu. We're not occupying nobody's land. The entire earth belongs to God. Hu bara. He created in a son of Asha Yosha Be'enoch. And he gave it to whom he wants. So, we didn't take anybody's land. So the reason that the Torah, even though the Torah is a book of laws, the Torah begins with the science lesson to teach that if the Goyim say, and they do say, we stole poor PLO land, we're supposed to point to Genesis 1, where it says that God created the world, and over again in Genesis it says that God promised the land of Israel to whom? Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. So we're not stealing anybody's land. We're not occupying anybody's land. Therefore, the Torah begins with Bereshis, even though there's no mitzvah. The mitzvah begins in Exodus 12. But this is the debating, how to win a debate at the UN. How to win a debate with Tony Blair and Hillary Clinton. You hear what Rashi's saying?
Look at what Hashem said.
Right. Look at Bereshis. God is the creator. And he promised this land to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and that we're not taking anybody's land. If you have a beef, take it up with the boss. Therefore, the Torah begins with what? With Bereshis. Even though the first mitzvah given to the Yidden is not until Exodus 12. You understand that?
This should be written way before anything they had. Yeah.
But Rav Soloveitchik asked, Rashi doesn't answer his question. Rashi asks, the Torah is a book of laws, right? So Rashi says yes, but we wanted to win the debate at the UN. We want to win the debate on the CNN. So how does that answer the Torah? The Torah is not about winning debates. The Torah is strictly about teaching us mitzvot. How does Rashi answer his question? That's Rav Soloveitchik's question on this Rashi. Here, Rabbi Joel. Rashi doesn't seem to answer his question. Yes, it's to teach that we didn't steal nobody's land. Yes, it's to teach that we are not occupying, Hashem gave us a land. Yeah, but that's not the job of the Torah. The job of the Torah is to give mitzvot, and not to teach whose land belongs to whom. How does Rashi answer his question? Let's repeat. Rashi's question is, the Torah is a book of laws, book of mitzvot. It's not how to win a debate. It's not how to justify the believing in Israel. That's not the point of the Torah. Yerav's kasha on Rashi's teretz? So Rav Soloveitchik answers as follows, Rabbi Joel. Yes. The Torah is a book of mitzvot. But before the Torah can give you any mitzvah, it has to give you the venue. The venue is found in Bereshis. Eretz Yisrael. How could the Torah command you to do a mitzvah if it doesn't air and tell you where the mitzvah should be performed? In Miami Beach? Where are you from? Miami, right? No. So Rashi is saying the reason Bereshis to teach that Kol Ha'aretz HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but this special corner of the globe, that's where mitzvos are meant to be kept. So that's how Rashi answers his question. Yes, the Torah is a book of mitzvot. But how could God command you to do a mitzvah if he doesn't first give you the address? And the address is not Shnora Park. Yirbasavetchik's beautiful explanation of how Rashi answers his own question.
Couldn't it be answered?
It's not how to win debate, no. It's what? Where mitzvahs should be kept. Mitzvahs are to be kept where? Nachlas Goyim. Nachlas Goyim is Eretz Yisrael, yes?
Couldn't it be that the next few sentences also give the source? You have to not only start with where the mitzvahs are kept, but where it comes from. The source comes from the next few psukim because of the word or. Rabbi Shimon, as I recall, says that the five times mentioned or really relates to the five books of the Torah. Okay. So in fact, to get the background from keeping the mitzvahs, first he has got to create the Torah that gives us the mitzvahs in the first place.
Good. Rav Soloveitchik gives another teretz to Rashi's question. The Torah is a book about mitzvahs and not a book about science. Why tell us that God created the world? Says Rav Soloveitchik, there's a mitzvah in the Torah, v'halachta bedrachav. What does that mean? V'halachta bedrachav. Help me out. Mahu afata, just like God creates worlds, we must create our own world. Every time you do a mitzvah, you're creating a world. You do tefillin, you're creating tefillin land. You sit in the sukkah, you're creating sukkah land. After 120 years, Rabbi Joel, we'll see. Sukkah land. Tefillin land. Torah land. I created all of this? Wow. So yes, the Torah is a book of mitzvot. Why begin with creation? What kind of mitzvah is that? The mitzvah is Ephraim v'alachta v'drachav. God creates worlds, we have to create our own world. In fact, the Rav said that God creates this world. Who creates Olam Haba? We create Olam Haba. God created this world as a stage to give us the opportunity to create Olam Ois.
But he didn't finish this world.
Tefillin land, mitzvah land. Any mitzvah you do, you're creating a world.
He didn't finish it. He left it up to us.
Of course, right?
And the next
one. Nachon. Now, Chanukah is coming up, Rabbi Joel, right? My Zayt, the B'nai Yisachar, says, count, what's the 25th word in the Torah? Count with Bereshis, very good. Count Bereshis Bara. The 25th word you get, he or. You see in Pasuk Gimel? The Yom Kim, he or? Well, you don't see that. That just happens to be the 25th word in the Torah, Abram. Kwinky dinky? What took place on the 25th of Kislev? This light, the or, says the Bnei Yisachar.
Wow.
This is alluding to the light of Chanukah.
That's the 25th word?
That count. From Bereshis Bara, the word or in Pasuk Gimel just happens to be the 25th word in the Torah. And we know Chanukah means Chanu Kof Hei. Chanukah is an acronym, Chanu Kof Hei. They rested from the war on the 25th. And on the 25th, they revealed this Or, the Or HaGanuz. According to Bnei Yisachar, my great Zayda, your God created the Or and it was hidden. When the Maccabees relit the menorah, they revealed the Or HaGanuz. That mysterious light that God created on the 25th word. And Chanukah happens to be what, Ephraim? 25th day. Oh, that cannot be coincidence. You don't take my grandpa's word? Okay, you can count it. You're from Missouri. You can count. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17,
18, 19, 20, 21,
22, 23, 24, 25.
You're right.
Oh,
okay.
Grandpa was right.
There you go.
And the grandpa says further, Rabbi Joel. Chanukah is around the corner. Hashem made the or. When the Maccabees lit the menorah, they also created or recreated this or of Chanukah. Remember, Rashi says that the special light was hidden. For some reason, when the Maccabees came along, they revealed this or, the 25th word, the 25th day. Pretty amazing, huh? Now, look at the next Rashi, Bereishis Bara. I told you, deepest secrets in the Torah found where? Chofetz Chaim says in Rashi. Bereishis Bara. See the next Rashi, Rabbi Joel, you want to read that?
Ein HaMikra Hazeh Omer Ella Darsheni.
Stop. What does that mean? On the first words of the Chumash, Rashi says, Ein HaMikra Hazeh Omer Ella Darsheni. If you think you understand Mikra, what does Mikra mean, Ephraim? Scripture. Ein HaMikra Hazeh Omer, there's no way you can understand Mikra. What does Mikra mean? Torah Shebiksav. Ella Darsheni. Without the drush of Torah Shel Bapeh, we don't know nothing. Aaron, in the first Rashi in the Torah, Bereishis Bara, Ein HaMikra Hazeh Omer Ela Darsheni. Scripture is crying out, you don't know what I mean. Unless Darsheni, what does Darsheni mean?
Drush.
Squeeze me. The written Torah is begging, Darsheni, darshan me. Help me. Squeeze me, the Torah Shel Bapeh should come out. Ein HaMikra Hazeh Omer. Scripture is saying, the only thing Scripture says, Scripture doesn't say nothing but what? Darsheni. Without Drush, Ephraim, without Torah Shel Bapeh, we are nothing and we don't know anything. That's why Billy Graham is so confused. They don't have Drush. Drush is Torah Shel Bapeh, Darsheni. Isn't, look at this Rashi. Ein HaMikra Hazeh Omer Ela Darsheni.
Now, how do they translate it when they're just start translating the Rashi? How do they?
I don't know.
I mean, how would they translate? It's talking about something else and plain Rashi.
No, Rashi is saying. See, he didn't.
Rashi's saying that
here? Rashi's saying. Rashi's. In the first word in the Chumash, Aaron, Rashi's laying down the ground rules. That there's no way to understand Mikra. What does Mikra mean?
Scripture.
Which means Torah Shebiksav. Ela Darsheni. Unless you apply Drush, which is a Torah Shebapeh, you don't know anything. The Mikra remains a sealed, closed book. So right from Genesis 1:1, Rashi lays down the ground rules. Ein HaMikra Hazeh Omer. This scripture, not referring to the first words only, the entire five books doesn't say nothing but Darsheni. What does Darsheni mean?
Squeeze it.
Darshan me. Darshan me. We need the Torah Shel Bapeh, otherwise we're lost in space.
Rav Brecher, they had the books, but they burned it in Paris.
They did? Oh.
When in the Middle Ages. Lots of wagons, they burn everything.
Yeah.
Darsheni literally means squeezing out.
What does Darsheni? Drush. What does Drush mean?
To draw out, right?
To draw out. Beautiful. Darsheni, squeeze me out. Draw me out. I'm a closed book. I'm written in shorthand code. The Rashi lays down the ground rules that the entire Mikra is impossible to understand without Darsheni. Good thing we came today. Most people don't learn Rashi this way. That's what Rashi means. He's laying the ground rules in Genesis 1:1. Look at the word Bereishis. See the word Bereishis?
Yep.
The Talmud
What's the reason why the Beis is bigger?
We said the Beis is big because it's Bracha. The Torah begins with Bracha. The Torah ends with Bracha, and the Torah begins with Bracha. The big Beis, the big... What's the last parsha in the Torah? Zoy Sabracha. So the big Beis... Not the Big Bang, but the Big Beis, Rabbi Joel, is alluding to Zoy Sabracha. The reason that the Beis is big, and the reason the Torah doesn't begin with an Aleph, with a Beis, is the Big Beis is referring to Zoy Sabracha. The Torah ends with Bracha, and the Torah begins. The reason the Beis is big, Rabbi Aaron, it's referring to what? the last parsha of the Torah. You want to go there? Zois HaBracha, the big bays, is reminding us that the entire Torah is all about bracha.
So the base is big in Bereishis, the first letter there. To
draw attention to the last parsha of the Torah, which is what? Bracha. What's the last parsha in the Torah? What's the last parsha in the Torah, Aaron? Bracha, not Zois. Bracha. The last parsha in the Torah is Bracha. Page is 640. The base is big because it's drawing attention and connecting the beginning of the Torah with the end of the Torah. So that the whole Torah is about Bracha. V'zois ha-bracha she-berach Moshe ish elokim es b'nei Yisrael lifnei moto. Now Rabbi Joel doesn't seem to say what the bracha is. 640. See 640? It says this is the blessing that Moses blessed the man of God, the Yidden, before he died. It was what blessing?
He gave it to God.
What blessing? Does it say blessings? No, then he says God came from Sinai, God went shopping to the UN and the EU and they all turned him down. What blessing, Rabbi Joel? The Zeus. What does the Zeus mean?
This.
What this, Rabbi Aaron? He says this blessing, all of a sudden he goes off on a tangent. Mm-hmm. So fasten your seatbelts, Aaron. Page 640. I hope you have a pencil. V'zot ha-bracha. You know what the bracha is? That a person, he didn't live in Israel, he died in Jordan. That a person 120 years old can still have the mental faculties to bless, that's a blessing. V'zot ha-bracha she-berach Moshe ish elokim es b'nei Yisrael lifnei moto. When did he give this blessing? Lifnei moto. A person on the day that he dies still has the mental faculties to bless, that's the greatest blessing. This is the blessing. Lifnei moto, that he's able to bless. He can still talk. He can still talk and bless. That's the bracha. More than that. We know, one second, Rabbi Frying, that the beginning of the Parsha must connect to what? To the old Parsha. Rabbi Joel, you can lay this down as a ground rule to your people, that the beginning of a new Parsha must be intimately connected to what?
The one before that.
The last verse before that. How does Zois HaBracha, what is your name, sir?
Leib.
How does Zois, remember I said, we're on 640, you're not on 640. We're on 640 now. We're connected to the beginning and the end. Because there is no end, there is no beginning. Round and round we go. Where she stops, nobody knows, right? What's God's John Hancock? The circle. Ein Sof. God is called the Ein Sof.
Well, I get a ring.
That's why all planets are round. That's God's signature, the masterpiece. The artist signs his masterpiece, the universe. God's signature is the circle, says the Zohar. Ein Sof. There's no beginning and no end. So we know, Leib, that the new Parsha must always connect with what? With the last Pasuk in the old Parsha. It's a cloud godla when you begin learning. The new Parsha must be strongly linked to the last verse in the old Parsha. What is the old Parsha on page 638?
Hazino.
What was Moshe's lifelong dream? What did he live for? What did he want more? To go to Pisgat Zeb. I mean, Kiryat Moshe. More than anything. Why was he denied that dream? Why? Look at 638, Pasuk Nun Aleph. Why was he denied that? Allah Hashem Yaltem Bi B'Toch B'nei Yisrael B'mei Meribas Kodesh. It's the fault of the Jews. Whatever we did to him, we aggravated him, we shtecht him. And therefore, Pasuk Nun Bet, Ki Mineget, Tire, Es Aoretz, Shavalot, Tavo, El Aoretz. So another person might be bitter. You guys, because of you guys, my life's dream was taken away. It's your, Moses says a few times, it's your fault. Lamanchem, what does Lamanchem mean? Biglalchem, like, what's Biglal? He knows Hebrew. Biglalchem. Moses and Pastor Atzkanan keep saying Lamanchem, Biglalchem. You guys did it to me. So another person might be what?
Angry.
Bitter, angry. And still, Zoy Sabracha. Asher Berach Moshe Espinei Yisrael. What a man. After we caused him to forfeit, to lose his most precious life's hope and dream, instead of being bitter, V'zot HaBracha Asher Berach Moshe Espinei Yisrael. That's Isha Lakim. Rabbi Joel, that's a man of God. If you're able to suppress your feelings of what? Of resentment and anger and bitterness, which he was justified, and still bless the yin, that's Isholakim. That means that he's what? Man of God.
He was expecting.
What a message.
You learn this out from where?
You learn it out, my friend. Because the end of the parsha must always connect to the new parsha. What does God
say?
Page 638 and page 640.
What's that got to do with
it? I told you the big bays in Bereishis is alluding to the bracha of Zosa Bracha.
Okay.
Pashtay?
Yeah.
But we want to know what bracha is he blessing. It doesn't seem to say no bracha.
Okay.
So the bracha is that he's able to bless the Yidden that he's not bitter, despite the fact that because of us, look how page 638 ends, Reb Yaakov. God says again to him, because of the waters of strife, the Yidden got you angry, you didn't sanctify me, and therefore you will not come to the land. God reminds them again. It's a starke kasha, Rabbi Joel. How could God remind them? You're not going to tell about tshuva. Remember your past deeds. Ooh, that's a starke kasha, Rabbi Joel. How could God bring this up on page 638? Allah Hashemi alten bi, you trespassed against me, betoch b'nei Yisrael. Been made be rebuilt by the waters of strife. You did not sanctify me. Therefore, you will not come to the land. So another person would say, look what they did to me. I'm going to bless them. And despite that, the Zos HaBracha, Asher Berach Moshe B'nei Yisrael, Lifnei Moto. He's dying because of them. If we would not have instigated him and gotten him angry, he would have lived and gone to Kiryat Moshe, right? We've gone to Kiryat Moshe. So his death, we are responsible for his dying. We are responsible for taking away his most life precious dream. And yet, he blesses us. That's Isholakim. That's an Isholakim. Is that a human being? That's Isholakim. Zoy Sabracha, despite what we did to him. You see how page 638 connects to 640? Cloud Godler, Rabbi Joel. The end of the Parsha must be intimately linked to the new Parsha. My question is, how could God remind him? There's a Rambam says in Hilchos Baal Tshuva that you're not allowed to tell about Tshuva, remember your past deeds. So how could God... You hear my kasha?
And it's the very last part.
Didn't God learn the Rambam, Rabbi Joel? The Rambam said that it's strictly forbidden, Aaron, to remind about tshuva of his past mistakes. Didn't Moses do tshuva for this? So how could God bring it up again? That's my kasha.
But Moses getting angry.
Whatever the sin was, Rabbi Aaron, whatever the sin was, we caused it. Moses and Pashtun Aschanan keeps repeating. Lamanchem biglal, whatever the sin was, anger, whatever it was we caused it.
He did.
We didn't daven for him. We let him down many times. So he should feel resentful. And yet he finds it in his heart to bless us. That's Isholakim. Even though we caused his death and took away his most prized possession. Now, my question is, Rabbi Joel, on page 638, how could God bring it up again? You're not allowed to remind about tshuva unless God knows that he didn't do tshuva yet. So what else can you say? I mean, I don't know. What else can you say?
He didn't sin. I mean, we caused it. You know what I mean? That's
right. But the sin, remember, Soloveitchik says the sin was that we didn't daven for him. If we would have davened for him, the evil decree would have been rescinded. We didn't make him sin, but we let him down. We did not pray for him.
How many times did he pray for us?
Exactly. And when he needed us, we were out to lunch. And yet he blessed us. That's Ishilakim. But my question, Aaron, is how can you allow a reminder about Tshuva? God is telling him again on page 638, you trespassed against me. You didn't sanctify me. I mean, oh, so I have a teretz. Ooh. Fasten your seatbelts. Fasten.
The question.
Yeah, my question is, how could God remind Moses of his sins? There's a lav in the Teda. You know, a reminder about two of his sins. That God follows his own Torah.
No, it's a blessing.
So
Moses wasn't about tshuva.
Who said he wasn't about tshuva? Moses didn't do tshuva for sin. No, he davened 515 times. He davened. That's not about tshuva.
But
how could God bring it up again?
But he was.
Isaac Akashalei.
He was not from birth.
Oh, we brought up because he's dealt with.
Was he from birth? No.
He davened 515 tshuvas for the sin, whatever he did. How could God bring it up again?
And yeah. Forgiven.
To answer this kasha, we must what?
Barnabas.
How does the halacha know that a person before he dies has to say vidui?
Has to say vidui.
Has to specify the sins that he did. There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. When a person, Leilenu, is dying, he has to say vidui and specify the sins that he did. How does the Shulchan Aruch know that? Moshe is dying in 5 minutes. Hashem is telling him, confess. Even though you did tshuva, maybe tshuva is not accepted. A person before he dies has to say vidui. How do you know? God is not rubbing it in, Aaron. God is teaching us. He's speaking only to Moses. It wouldn't be in the Chumash. You know that. God is teaching halacha that never when a person is dying, like Moses is in 5 minutes, he has to say vidui. Lifnei Moto. You see, Rabbi Joel, how page 640 is connected to page 638? 638, God brings up the sin again. Why? To teach him, Lifnei Moto, on page 640, before you die, you have to what?
Confess
specifically your sin. That's how the halacha knows it. Otherwise, it's very difficult, Rabbi Joel. You're not allowed to remind about tshuva of his past indeed. You're not allowed to remind him. But you can teach the Baal Tshuva that when he's dying, he has to confess his sins. And this is the makor. This is the makor.
Do we have to rub in what the punishment was?
What?
Do we have to rub it in what the punishment is?
So look at God rubs it. Look how he rubs it. Look what he says. Posting in bed.
Yeah.
638. Want to read? And in bed. Ki mineged tireh. So, Joel left the bomb question. You're not going to come there. The Yidden are. Why is God rubbing it in? He's not. The Ramchal says that we are born to be tested. And even a minute before you die, you're still being tested. You never stop being tested. God is testing you. How will he react? Yeah, that's right. Them no good nicks. I'm going to bless them. God was testing Moses. God is not rubbing it in. No, Rabbi Kessler. But the purpose of being alive is to be tested. Ramchal Leib. Even a minute before you die, you're still being tested. Otherwise, Rabbi Kessel is asking a bum kasha, a bumba.
What was his
question? Look at Pasuk Nun Bet on page 638. What is God rubbing it in? You're not going to go there, but the Yidden are.
Nah.
So what's Moses going to say? You're right, God. Them no good nicks. I'll fix them. He He passed the test with flying colors. Bravo! Another guy would have said, you're right, God. Look at those guys, those SOBs. I'll fix them. But he blesses. He dies with a blessing. Wow, did he pass the test with flying colors. God is not rubbing it in. He's testing him. We're never stopped tested. And the greater a person is, the greater are his tests. The last minute of your life, you're still being tested. A tzaddik is dying in the hospital and he's suffering.
And each test is harder than the next.
And Satan says to him, what did you get from all of your learning? And you tell you, you wind up, you're a vegetable, a cripple, you're wasting away here. That's not a test. What did it get me? That's not a test. Test!
Each test is harder than
Boy,
the next.
Boy, did he
too.
Pass with flying colors.
Which test?
If you know it's a test, David.
Which test was this?
If you know it's a test, it makes it a little bit easier. This, you have to keep repeating something. This is only a test. This is only a test. This is only a test.
Which test was you talking about?
On page 638, Moses is dying. Why is he dying? Because the Yidden, whatever they did to him, you know, didn't daven for him. They instigated him. They pushed him over. And Hashem is saying to him, you're not going to go to Pisgat Zev, but the Yidden are. Why is God saying that to him? Putting a little salt on the wound?
Yeah.
No. A test! How will my servant Moses react? And he became Ishel Elokim. He reached the heights on his last moment by blessing the Yidden, despite the fact that it's our fault. He continues to bless. That makes him an Ishel. Only now is he called Ishel Kim here. In the entire book, he's not called Ishel Kim. You know that? Only now. Why only now? Because he passed the greatest test of all. That instead of, I don't want to say what, he blessed. Who else would have done that? I'll fix their wagon. To what they did to me. Only now is he called Ishel Kim. Never before, Rabbi Joel. Not when he split the Red Sea. And not when he brought down the tablets. Only now is he called. Kawinki Dinky. Now he reached the heights. To be Mavater. How do you say that in English, David? To be Mavater. I don't know, English word. Mavater. How do you say Mavater in English?
How do you say it?
Question.
What's going on? What's going on? You have late to pay to come today?
Sure did.
Question though.
Okay.
Perek Lamed Dalet. Zotah Bracha.
Perek Lamed Dalet. Okay. Perek Lamed Dalet. Give me the page number.
Page 646.
Go ahead.
Last three words.
Yivishama lo tabor.
He rubbed it in again.
Oh, why is he rubbing it again? So here, Rashi asks your question, Rabbi Joel.
Kind of obvious he's not going to be up.
Where's 646?
It begins on 645, Pasuk Dalet. Here we have help because Rashi asks Rabbi Joel's kasha, or the other way around. Rabbi Joel asks Rashi's kasha. But let's read the verse very carefully, page 645. God says to him, this is the land that I swore to the Avos, Lamor. The word Lamor doesn't seem to be needed here. Lamor means to repeat, Lizaracha to your children etnena, Hevisicha be'inecha. I made you see it with your eyes, Vishama lo tavor. But there you're not going to pass. So why is God making him see with his eyes? I mean, just to rub it in. He can't go there anyway. Why does he have to see with his eyes? Rashi asked this question. And why do you have to say Shavalot Tavor? Isn't it obvious? Obvious? So here, Rabbi Joel, Rashi does ask your question. Rashi asks your question. Go back to page 645. Bottom of the left column, Dalet Lamor. You have that?
Got it.
L'zarach lefneno ersicha. Rashi wants to know, before he gets to your kasha, the word lamor seems to be sepaifalus chas v'shalom. Lamor means to repeat. Repeat what? I swore to the Avos that I'm going to give them the land of Israel. What am I repeating over here? So first Rashi will deal with that. Okay, Rabbi Joel, take it away.
Kidei she'telech matomar le'Avraham le'Yitzchak le'Yaakov, shvua she'nishba lachem ha'kadosh baruch hu ki kima. Zehu le'mor.
Stop. What does le'mor mean? You are going to die now. You're going to join the forefathers. Le'mor means you have to repeat to them that I'm keeping my word. The word le'mor is there. I'm commanding you, Moses. You're going to die. When a tzaddik dies, where does he join? The avot. Le'mor, say over to them that I'm about to keep my word. Now, lekach. Go ahead, lekach.
Lekach had a tiha.
Therefore, I've shown it to you with your eyes, because a witness in Jewish law cannot be hearsay. A witness has to see. I'm making you see Kiryat Moshe and Pisgat Zev. I'm not rubbing it in, but since you're going to go and testify to the Avos that I'm keeping my word, a witness in Jewish law has to what?
See.
Eyeball. Therefore, I'm making you see it. So Hakam said to Shomel Otavor. Now he deals with your question. Go ahead. Aval.
Gezera himel fanai sheshamal l'tavor. She'ilu le'kach hayiti mekayemcha ad she'tir'e otam letu'im ko'im ba'telech v'tagir lahem.
You see?
Except he's not actually seeing them go in.
He is seeing the land.
He's seeing the land.
But he can't go in. Because Moshe said, you want me to be a witness, I got to go in. But God said, no, I made a promise that you can't go there. So therefore, it'll have to be enough of you eyeballing it from the top of the mountain. I've been to the mountaintop, and I've seen the promised land. Because technically, a witness has to be there. So therefore, God says, if it wasn't for my oath, I would have let you go on in and to testify to the Avos. But since I made a gzeira shamalo tavor, my oath is unbreakable. And therefore, it'll have to be enough that you eyeball it. It'll have to be enough to go and tell the Avos that I kept my promise. But if it wasn't for my promise, I would have let you in. I would have let you in order that you should go and tell the Avos that I kept my words. It looks like the dead are not aware of the living, right? Don't they know that God is keeping his word? It looks like Moses has to go and tell them. Yeah?
We went through this.
Okay. Good. We went through that. So let's go.
Are they awakened?
Okay. So let's go back to where are we now?
Noah. Can I ask you a question about Noah?
Fire away.
You once told me the case called the Sar, the end of all flesh has come before me.
Yeah.
And then you brought down a commentary that the end of all flesh was the name of a Malach that spoke to God.
No, that was, I never said that. Mix me up with somebody else.
It says in the beginning of...
It says, Kate's called, what, the end of all flesh has come before me, I have to destroy them.
Yes, and you told me that God is not a Shakespearean speaker, and why would he say something like that? And then you brought down that the Kate's called Basar was actually the name of an angel called the end of all flesh.
I don't remember saying that.
Oh, I thought you did. I thought you told us that. If it is,
yeah.
Why would God be telling Noah that an angel spoke to him, and how is he supposed to pop that whole thing?
I'm not aware of that, David. I'm not aware that Kate's called the name of an angel. It's news to me.
Does it make sense to you? Listen.
But it's news to me. I never heard it.
But say the statement, and it makes sense.
Yeah.
God's speaking to Noah.
Yeah.
And he's telling him. Why would he have to tell him that the end of all flesh has come before him? Why wouldn't he just say, Noah, I've decided to destroy the world?
No, so Rashi asked the question. Rashi says, why should the innocent human beings be destroyed, babies? So Rashi says, wherever there's nus and avodah zarah, a catastrophe comes, v'hireges toivim v'rayim, and destroys the good with the bad.
So the Zohar, some source that I must have read,
you have to show me inside because I'm not aware,
says, and then it says that God is speaking to Noah.
Yeah.
And then a malach by the name of Kitz called Basar,
yeah,
has come before me.
I'm not aware of that.
And complain.
I'm not aware. You have to show me inside.
You
show me inside because I'm not aware of that. Let's go to Pasuk Tes. Ela told us Noach ish tzadik. Rabbi Joel, I know he was a man. I know he wasn't what? An android. You see my question? Rabbi Yaakov, you see my question? You know? Ela told us Noach ish tzadik.
Okay.
Well, how do they translate that?
What page, Pasuk?
Page 18, Tess.
These are the offsprings of Noah. Noah was a righteous man.
Well, I know he was a man. What else was he?
Perfect in his generation.
Why does it say Ish Tzadik? I know he was a man. I know he wasn't a orangutan. Hasu Shalom.
Well,
there are no extra words in the Holy Torah.
So he was an Ish and a regular man and a Tzaddik.
Oh. Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. Before you can be a Tzaddik, Aaron, you have to be a mensch. No extra words in the Torah. He was a Tzaddik. But what comes before a Tzaddik? A mensch. Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. That has to come before a tzaddik.
You can't be a tzaddik in Russia.
You can't be a tzaddik and not be a mensch.
The middos.
Koydim, he was an ish.
He was a
mensch. He had derech eretz, and then he was a tzaddik.
Why was he afraid to pray for the people to save them?
I know why he was afraid. I guess.
But why didn't he even think of it?
He didn't. I don't know why.
Why wouldn't he think of it? Or why?
Maybe he thought it's useless.
Or why wouldn't he go out, you know, and look at a sign hanging over him?
Right, like Abraham did, no?
Like the end of the world is coming, you know, like those guys in New York.
Right.
I think he did it for a while and gave up.
That's why he's not the father of the Jewish people. That's why Abraham is. Abraham was a Chabadnik. But he wasn't. He didn't do a reach out. What's it called? Kirov work. I don't know why.
So God didn't.
He was busy, but it's called a tzaddik in pelts.
So, no.
A tzaddik in pelts. You know what that means?
God gave him an order to build an ark.
Right.
It was a commandment to him.
Build the ark.
So that was his only mitzvah there.
Right. But he should have used the fifth of Shulchan Aruch. What's the fifth of Shulchan Aruch? How many Shulchan Aruch are there?
Kitzah.
Well, how many Shulchan Aruch are there? Joel, how many kids Shulchan Aruch? There are four. What's the most important one? The fifth one. What's the fifth one? Common sense.
Oh.
Without the fifth one, the other four don't work.
I read that.
Yeah.
He spoke out. People would come to him and say, why are you building this?
If people would come to him, Rashi said, if people would come to him, then he would not initiate. And therefore, he's not the father of the Jewish people.
Well, how can he initiate when he's going to vote?
Well, he could have gone on the internet. I don't know. Send SMS messages, Skype messages. Huh?
He was told to build this big boat.
Yeah.
This big table.
It took 100-something years.
120 years.
So people should what?
People should check it out.
Right? Yeah.
Say, what are you doing there, old man?
What are you doing, old man? Right? Noah, what are you doing? Building a boat. Now, look
at... Did it rain before then?
It did rain, yeah, if you want rain. It says in Genesis that it rained, the beginning.
I thought it came from the mist from the ground. Like,
no, that's before Adam was created.
Man, Lois says that...
After Adam was created, it rained.
Periodically, there were torrential rains all the time.
Rashi said that when Methuselah died, is an amazing Rashi. You want to go with me here?
Yeah, I'm going.
Let's go with me here. Rashi says... Yeah.
I can just see in a concession stand, somebody builds a grandstand,
right.
Everybody's watching build a boat.
Now, the Torah doesn't tell me no stories. Look at page 14. Page 14, Rabbi Joel, Pasuk Chav Dalet on the bottom. Want to read that?
Chav Dalet?
Yeah, last verse on 14.
Back
no, first read the text.
Hanoch
walked with God and he's no more because God took him. What do you mean God took him? Why do we need to know that 5,000 years ago this righteous person, God took him? What's the message for the year 2012?
Why?
What do you mean God took him? The type what?
He was afraid the legal.
What's it got to do with me? I need to know 5,000 years ago a righteous man lived and God took him. The Torah is for the year 2012.
He was afraid that he would go off.
Not answering my question. The Torah is teaching what it means to die. When a tzaddik dies, death means to be taken by God. No reason to fear.
No more mitzvahs.
That's what the Torah is teaching. It ain't over till it's over, Aaron. Not a history lesson. We need to know if this guy lived 5,000 years ago. No. Chanoch was a tzaddik. The Torah is telling when a tzaddik dies, he's taken by God.
I have heard another explanation that he was taken similar to Eliyahu HaNavi.
Okay. 69 other reasons. I'm giving you one.
Right.
There's 69 other reasons.
Can you just touch up that pasuk?
Vayishale Chanoch Hashalehim. Chanoch walked with God, ve'einenu, and he's no longer around.
I mean, Chanoch is no longer around.
Yeah, why is he no longer around? Ki lokach oisil him, because God took him.
Yes.
Just say he died.
Yeah.
Why go like this? We can go like... No, why go like this?
No, he can go like this. Why go like this for the Hindu?
Right. So the Torah is teaching when a tzaddik dies, it means to be taken by God.
When a tzaddik dies,
it means that's what the pasuk teaches, among 69 other reasons, Rabbi Joel said. But I'm giving you one reason. Death means, when a tzaddik dies, it means to be taken by Hashem.
Doesn't Rashi go into a different explanation?
Okay, there's 67 others. Let's go. Okay.
What's the
67 others. Let's go.
Which one?
Vayisalech, what?
I just thought about the life mission of Chanoch. What's the meaning? Maybe he fulfilled his life mission in a very good way.
Okay, Rashi says something else. Let's look at Rashi 14, Chavdal on the right side. Vayisalech Chanoch. Chanoch walked with God. So Rashi's puzzled. Akbar means he was taken. I mean, Rashi knew my pshat, but there's 68 other pshatim. So Rashi gives another explanation. Sadikoya, he was a righteous person. Vikal bidato. You hear this, Rabbi Joel? What does kal bidato mean, Rabbi Joel?
Kal is simple.
He was lightly persuaded. He was a person that could be brainwashed by Israel TV. Or maybe the Hot Channel, HOT Channel. Loshu Mashiach, he was kal bidato, easily influenced, and he could fall in with the wrong crowd. So God did him a favor. Lefikach mi'a kodesh baruch hu v'silko ve'emito kodem zmano. Therefore, God took him before his time. He was supposed to live longer. All these people lived much longer. But God looked into the future, David, and saw that Hot TV and Israel TV is going to have a very negative influence on my tzaddikol. So God says, you know what? I don't want him to get ruined. I'm going to take him home now. What do you mean he's no longer? But olam, he's no longer in the world, l'malot shenotav, to fill out his years. Ki lokach oisoi, lifnei zmano, God took him before his time. Because if he'd stick around longer, there was a great chance that Aaron, that he would what? Fall in with the wrong crowd. Hang out maybe on Kikar Tzion there at night. You know, it's a bad scene over there.
Smoking cigarettes.
So God did him a favor. What's the Torah teaching me? When a tzaddik dies, lo yaleinu, suddenly, we ask why. We don't know his cheshbonos. There's a reason. We don't know, but he knows. There's a scorecard! Chanoch said, why is this happening to me? Little did he know when he gets up there, he says, God, oh, thank you! I would have fallen in with the wrong crowd. You did me a big taiva. But Chanoch couldn't see it when he's down here. That's why it's called Olam HaSheker.
I have a question.
Olam HaEmet! We never know the whole story. That's the message. Not history, current events, Mevachisi Tzadikim dying. We don't know. Chanoch, he is the role model. That God knows what we don't know. And death is not always a punishment. Because the death of the body is the Hatzalah of the Neshama.
That's what flies in the place of Eov that says that we don't have the right to determine when somebody dies, whether it's a Tzaddik or a Rasha.
But he does.
Correct. So okay. To try and have Rashi explain that bothers me. But how can he make that determination? Mm-hmm.
Well, Rashi's quoting Chazal, I guess. Okay.
It could also be for the same reason, the fact that this is here to show us that whether they're righteous or not righteous, we have no right to determine which, you know, when they die and how long they live. Even the righteous will die early.
But the point that Rashi's making, that death is not always a punishment. It could be an act of Hatzalah for the Neshama. Yeah.
Why does God
strange?
Why does God make a narrative about himself?
What do you mean?
And God took Chanuch.
Like, he took him.
Why does he talk about
it? To teach that when a tzaddik dies, you've been taken by God. You're being brought home. Nothing to be afraid of. That's what Hashem says. A tzaddik dies, you're brought back home.
Then why does God cry when a tzaddik dies?
Oh. Rachmiel asked a bomba kasha now. Rachmiel asked a bomba kasha. This kasha bothered me for years. The Gemara in Moed Kutin 25 says when a tzaddik dies, Rachmiel had to come more often. The man from Bombland asked me a bomba kasha. From Bombland? Gemara Moed Kutin says that when a tzaddik dies, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sameach with the neshama kechotan im akala. Moed Kutin 25, when a tzaddik dies, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sameach im neshama kechatan im akala. That's what it says.
Yeah.
Moed Kutin 25, gotta quote the sources. Rachmiel asked me a bomb kasha. You mind getting me a sitter? A regular sitter, can you get a few of them? We all be on the same page. The big Ashkenazi sitters, you know, we are on the same page. This kasha bothered me for years, Rachmiel. Remember, you can't understand the rhythm without the oral. The oral Torah says, but a tzaddik dies, because both of us are meach in the neshama, kechotan im akala. And yet, we are the Sidurim, help. Can you help in your mind? Oh, thank you.
What are we looking at?
We're looking at Hallel. We're looking at Hallel. Can you pass him down? Will you give me a pass? Can you pass him down? Hallel. Pass him around. Rachmiel, Shkoach. Bravo. Let's go to Hallel. Where's Hallel here? Where's Hallel here? You know where it is. Page 302.
Moshiv
Lashem. Moshiv Lashem. Look at the verse. Yakar be'ena Hashem a mafsal chasidav. Maze yikar. Yikar be'ena Hashem a mafsal chasidav. How do they translate that? You have it?
I pull Hebrew.
Moshiv Lashem. Anyone have an English?
How many lines down on the top of the
screen? Moshiv. Yikar be'ena Hashem. You want to have an art school sitter?
What's first one on the line?
Moshiv Hashem.
Yikar
be'ena Hashem, amafsal chasidav. Yikar be'ena Hashem, amafsal chasidav.
Precious
in the eyes of God is the death of his righteous ones. But our school doesn't translate like that. Yikar is precious, right?
Yikar
is precious, thank you.
Expensive
in the eyes of God is the death of his chassidim. Thank you very much. But art school don't translate like that. Art school doesn't translate like that. This is Psalm 116. Art school says, difficult in the eyes of God is the death of his tzaddikim.
Oh.
Now, why does art scroll say difficult? Yakar means precious, right?
Yeah.
Art scroll, Psalm 116 says difficult in the eyes of God is the death of his tzaddikim. difficult? Why is it difficult, Rachmiel asked? When a tzaddik dies, he's sameach with the neshama kechatan imakala.
The more difficult.
Do you mind getting a tilim with the kroyes? You know what a tilim on the kroyes gedolos is? Do you mind? Yeah. Tilim kroyes gedolos. Psalm 116.
The more difficult, the more.
Why precious. Is it difficult?
The more precious.
The more precious. Difficult the more in the eyes of God is the death of his tzaddikim.
They're the ones that lead the world, create the world.
So why is it difficult? God rejoices with the neshama of the dead guy like a chassan rejoices with the kala.
He's with him now.
Yeah.
But he's not getting able. He's not able to finish creation here on earth the way he wants.
Yeah.
Isn't that the other side of the coin argument with the Vilna Gaon who cried on his deathbed because he couldn't do any further mitzvahs?
Right. It's our same idea. Very good. The Vilna Gaon cried on his deathbed. So how could you experience joy and sadness at the same time? It's possible.
Good.
It's possible to experience joy and sadness at the same time. The classic case is, it looks like a contradiction, right?
Yeah, and a bridge, you know, the kid's going to die sooner or later, but I celebrate.
If a parent dies and leaves $1 million to his son, the son loved his father dearly, thank you. Psalm 116. Psalm 116, thank you. Koftez Zion. Thank you. Koftez Zion. Koftez Zion. Koftez Zion, what pasuk? Yikar Bein Hashem. Yikar Bein Hashem, is what Rashi says. Tezvav. Rashi says, Dovra Kosha, it is a difficult and heavy thing in the eyes of God when a tzaddik dies. Shadovra Kasha, with Kavid, a difficult and heavy matter in the eyes of God, Lahamit et Chasidav, to kill his tzaddikim. Why is it difficult? God rejoices with the neshama, Kachasid Makala.
Altogether.
Tezvav. That's what Rashi says. Tezvav. Yeah. Tezvav. Ebenezer says kasheh. Difficult. When a tzaddik dies. See what the Malbim says. So the Malbim deals with the question. He says because when a tzaddik is alive, he can praise God and influence his generation.
Yeah.
Like Eliyahu said. When a tzaddik is alive, he can praise God and influence the generation. Once he's dead, he can no longer influence the generation. So God has kaviyochel, has these feelings of joy and sadness simultaneously. A human nature, well, God made us this way, like himself, you can feel joy and sadness simultaneously. What's a classic case?
Father's death.
A father died, and he had a beloved son who loved his father dearly. And the father died and left his son $1 million. The son makes two brachas. What two brachas does he make? Rabbi Joel, you're a rabbi.
One's dying on high emes.
And the other one is a tov ha-meitim. He loved his father. He sat by the bed and nursed him, and now the father died. He makes a die in the MS. Then when he picks up the check in the lawyer's office, he makes a tov ha-meitim. Is he being a hypocrite? No. That's human nature. A person can experience joy and sadness simultaneously. Complexity. Who knows the complexity of the human heart? God made us like himself.
I spoke about that on the letter that I sent out online, because the same day that Shalit was released, I was up at the demonstration of the Quran.
You were there.
You heard the what?
The demonstration in Migron. I was there.
Migron is where
there is joy and sadness at the same time.
Joy and sadness at the same time.
It's one of those settlements that's scheduled to be removed in March, I believe.
As a gesture to the peace partners.
Yeah. It was interesting. The homes that were destroyed, it's mostly like, they look like, most of them look like trailers. They're unfinished on the outside.
Yeah.
But two of the homes had Jerusalem stone on them, and they looked like permanent buildings.
Oh,
those were the ones that were destroyed. The ones that look permanent. The ones that look temporary, they left there. So, and we were told by one of the residents there that they get very upset when you start making, doing the finishing touches and make the home waterproof and finished roofs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Then Hashem is incorporeal. So why did it say that the end of all flesh came before him? It looks like there is something.
Oh, it means he wants to destroy all flesh. That's what it means. Cage called Basar means I want to destroy all flesh. Even the innocent.
Yeah.
Because when there's Nusin Avodah Zarah, Andromusia Bola Olam. Bahareges Tobin Verayim. That's what it means. Why the innocent have to suffer? Why is it their fault? Now, if you look at the end of the parasha on page 30, the Torah seems to be engaged in a cover-up over here. Look at the end of the parasha of Noah. The end of the parasha of Noah, see? Look at Pasuk Lamed Bet. See Pasuk Lamed Bet? The last verse, Rabbi Joel, 30. Mm-hmm. You want to read that?
V'ayu yimei terach chamesh shanim u'matayim shana v'yamot terach b'charan.
And right after that it says Lech Lecha, right?
Right.
So it seems to say that Abraham did not make Aliyah until what? Until Terach died where? In Lakewood. I mean in Ocean Parkway.
But the Torah,
that's what it seems to say.
But the Torah is not a history lesson.
Rashi will prove that you can't go by the text. Remember Darshani? Eina mikro oim ela Darshani. Without Darush, we're not going nowhere. Rashi proves it's impossible that Terach died and only then did Abraham make Aliyah. Rashi will prove it. You want a half cup? Put on your thinking cap. You with me on this or not?
Mm-hmm.
Page 30, left column. Lamed Bet Rashi. Want to read that, Rabbi Joel? Yomas Terach Bechoron.
Bechoron. Hanun Hapucha.
No, but Yomas Terach Bechoron. Left column. Rashi on top.
Okay. Liachar sheyatza Avram mecharan uval eretz Kanaan.
Stop. That means Terach continued to live another 60 years. Where? Where? In Tinek. And Abraham left him to make Aliyah. If you read the text, it says first Haran died, and only then did Abraham make Aliyah. Rashi proves it can't be that way. Only after Abraham what? Abraham left and Terach was still alive 60 years. You hear this, David? Shrek Siv, let's go. Rashi proves it. Says Avram ben Chamesh Shonim Vishivim Shom Tesabachorah. It says clearly in the text in 12 that Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. The Terach ben Shivim Shana, how old was Terach when he gave birth to Abraham?
70.
Who's good in math? How much is 75 and 70?
135.
Harei Meyar boy Bechamesh. So Terach was only 145 years old Keshiyotza Avram Echaran. And he continued to live until he was how old? 200 years. Terach lived 205 years. So how many years did he live longer? 60 years. Adayin Nisharu Mishnosav Harbeh. Terach continued to live over 60 years. In where?
Haran.
In Haran. So what's the kasha? The lama, and why? Higdim akosiv misoso shal Terach litzoso shal Abraham. If Terach continued to live for another 60 years, why does the Torah first bury Terach and only then write that Abraham made Aliyah? Well, it didn't happen like that.
Yeah.
So Rashi says that the Torah is engaged in a Watergate. Remember Watergate?
No?
Cover. Yeah. What's the Watergate? Shiloh Yehei, go ahead.
In other words, Terach was alive when Abraham died.
No. Terach continued to live another 60 years after Abraham left him. Shiloh Yehei, Adova Mefursam Lakol. Imagine the headlines in the Jewish press, Rabbi Joel. Imagine the headlines in the Jewish press. Loikiyem Avram is kibedaviv. What kind of son is he leaving an old father in a nursing home in Borough Park? Shenich is zaken v'holachlo. Imagine the headlines in the Allgemeine Journal. No, Allgemeine? Jewish press? Lefika, therefore, korakosiv meis. Therefore, what? The Torah makes believe that Terach died first. And then it says Abraham made Aliyah. Even though truthfully Terach continued to live another 60 years, Abraham left him. So why not tell it like it is? God didn't want Abraham to suffer from negative publicity. What kind of son are you? Leaving an old father in Flatbush and making Aliyah.
What does that say today?
So therefore, what?
What does that say to us today?
Except this is a pattern of the Torah everywhere. Abraham, the same thing. Abraham passes away according to the Torah, but there's no question by the lineage that he's alive at the time when Yaakov and Esau, which comes up in Toldot, he's still alive at that point just by the numbers.
That's
Yitzchak too. Yitzchak would have been alive at the time Yosef was sold into slavery, but Yitzchak's death is reported beforehand. This is a pattern that continues.
But Rashi is saying that the Torah is engaged in a cover-up over here.
What does that say for us?
What does it say for us today? Can you leave old parents and make Aliyah?
So what is the answer?
So the Poskim debate that. The Poskim debate, they debate this. Some Poskim say that since the Torah wasn't Abraham, there was no official mitzvah yet. But some poskim debate what you should do. It's a difficult question. Can you leave old parents and make Aliyah? Can you, like Abraham did? And if he did the right thing, why is the Torah engaged in a cover-up? If he did the right thing, then why is the Torah engaged in a cover-up?
The answer to the others is specifically because the error of Abraham and Yitzchak, their story ended, and therefore that's why we go on, and that's why we mention Abraham Yitzchak's death before they actually...
But Rav Joel, you're missing the point. Every Rashi stands on his own.
I understand that.
Rashi says the Torah is engaged in a cover-up. The question is, if Abraham did the right thing in making Aliyah, then why is the Torah engaged in a cover-up? That's my question.
Hashem commanded Abraham to go. Lech lecha.
Lech lecha. Lech lecha. Make Aliyah. So why hide the fact that his old father was still alive? So the Jewish press will give him negative publicity. That's what Rashi says here.
Do we know who Abraham's mother was?
Mrs. Terah. Food for thought, okay? There's food for thought.
What did the rabbis say about leaving?
Well, that's a whole lecture. Maybe I'll give this lecture. A whole lecture. I just want to whet your appetite.
You had a question yesterday you didn't answer.
Which question? Yeah, I left you a homework assignment. I didn't... There's your homework assignment. The amazing Rashi over here, which sin is worse? The sin of Dor HaFlaga or the sin of Dor HaMabul? Which sin is worse? Why was Dor HaMabul destroyed and Dor HaFlaga was not harmed? All they had is fled out to Babylon, Long Island. Rashi, look at page 29. Rashi on page 29, let's go to the text first. Pasuk Tet, you with me? 29:10, Rabbi Joel. Text.
Al King Karashma Babel Kisham Balal Hashem Svakol Haaretz Visham Hevit Sam Hashem Apnei Kol Haaretz.
Babylon, Long Island, no?
Therefore,
the name he called the name Babel, because there, what does Babel mean? A mixture, a mishmash. God mixed up the languages of all the earth, and from there God spread them out. Did God harm them? Didn't harm them, he just spread them out. So Rashi has to strike a kash over here. Look at Rashi Tess. See Rashi Tess, the left column? Misham efitzam. Limei she'en lem chedek l'olam haba. They have no share in the afterlife. They don't believe in the afterlife. V'chi eizek kasha. Now Rashi asks, amazing. Which sin is worse? Dor ha'mabul or dor ha'flogah? You ask any guy in the street, which sin was worse? No, Rashi says dor ha'flogah. Eilu lo pashtu yad b'ika, ve'eilu pashtu yad b'ika, lochem boy. The dor ha'mabul, all they wanted was to boogie. They wanted znus, they wanted orgies, and a good time. They didn't pashtu yad b'ika. They didn't deny God. They said, if it feels good, do it. They were not pashut yad b'ika. They had no quarrel with God. All they wanted was free sex, free love. Love, love, love. And they were destroyed. And dor ha'flogah, they went to war against God. They were heretics, they denied God, they defied God, they actually went to war against them. So how come the Dor HaMabul was destroyed and the Dor HaFlogah was not destroyed?
The Dor HaFlogah was together.
Beautiful. Says Rashi, because the Dor HaMabul, Hoyagat Lonim, they were thieves and there was Meriva Beinehem. There was Machlaikis amongst them. Can't we all get along? Who said that? They couldn't get along. Lekach nevdu. Therefore, they were destroyed. The Elu. But the Dor HaFlogah, even though they rebelled against God and went to war against God, Nohagim Ahava V'Reyut B'Nehem. There was love and friendships among them. Shenem Asofa Echas Edvor Machadim. Lomadito Shesanu Amachleikis the Godel HaShalom. What does God hate more than anything? Machloikis. What does God want more than anything? Shalom. So even though the Dor HaFlogah were worse than the Dor HaMidbar, than the Dor HaMabul, the Dor HaMabul was destroyed because they were wicked ben Adam lechaveroi. The Dor HaFlogah was wicked ben Adam lamakayim, and therefore God spared them. Look how much God loves people. He's willing to overlook his own covet, kaviyachol.
But
he's not willing to overlook the covet of a human being. Ad kedei kach.
Different groups had different punishment depending on their motivation.
Alright, well, we're learning a pashut pshat over here. Pashut pshat le'Rashi is learning they were not destroyed. They were just scattered. Because even though they denied God, they were shalom v'hava b'neihem.
Some of them were killed. Some were turned to monkeys.
Right, but that's Medrashim. We're learning a Pashut Pshat where they were not harmed. So we see that Ben Adam Lechavero Aram, you see throughout the Torah, Ben Adam Lechavero is more important to God than what? Than his own covet. Ad Kedei Kach, how much God loves people. He's willing to overlook the offense against himself, Kaviyochel, by sparing the Dor HaFlogah, even though they were rebelling against him, but they were kind to each other. He's willing to overlook the sin against himself, Kaviyochel, but the Dor HaMabul, even though they didn't sin against God, they were wicked to each other, and therefore God destroyed them.
But I thought that when they would carry a stone up to the top of the mountain, one dropped, and it fell back down.
That's later.
They would be more upset than one person.
Right, but that's later on. This was before that. That's later on. That was later on. And that was a few yechidim. We're talking about the majority of them were together. I'm not talking about the few lunatics, but the majority of them were together. And therefore, they were not harmed. They were just scattered.
Why
they were scattered.
If they're fighting God and they're trying to climb up to the heavens, why did they build this in a valley?
Why did they build it in a valley? It says because that's where the clay was available. That's what clay was available.
It'd be easier to carry the clay out of there than to build it there.
The Zohar says they were building Svino Shel Barzel.
Svino means
ship.
Ah, Svino,
they're building a spaceship. What's Svino Shel Barzel?
Barzel
is iron.
A ship? A boat?
An iron ship? Blast off!
The generation of the flood.
Oh yeah.
The generation of the flood were God's lanim. They weren't keeping. They were gezels, nus. They broke the seven Noahide laws.
But they kept the.
They didn't rebel against God. They were just wicked to each other. And the Dor HaFlaga, they rebelled against God. So why did God spare the Dor HaFlaga, but he did not spare the Dor HaMabul? So Rashi says, because the Dor HaMabul sinned ben Adam l'chavero, that God would not overlook. The Dor HaFlaga sinned ben Adam l'makom. Kaviyachol, God is willing to overlook his own covet. But when God cherishes the covet of mankind, Kaviyachol, over his own Kaviyachol, that's you see. You see that over and over again in the Torah. This is the first instance of it. Abraham is meeting God, and he interrupts the visit to take care of three hungry strangers. Rabbi Joel, what's more important? Having communion with God or taking care of three hungry strangers?
Taking care of the three hungry strangers.
So you see that Ben Adam Lechavero is more important to God than what? Ben Adam Lamaka? Yes, sir.
Rabbi,
yes, sir.
Two questions. So one question was the generation of the flood. They were not committing idolatry or anything.
Were they committing not idolatry? They were just committing znus and gezel, and they were wicked to each other. They were robbing each other.
They weren't idolaters, right?
No, they were just robbing each other and adultery, kidnapping each other's wives. But they didn't worship Getchkes.
Well, weren't they also doing homosexuality? And
but they weren't the rebelling, but they didn't go to war against God.
No, but for bestiality, yeah. That's a capital punishment.
Well, any of the Noahide laws, if he breaks, is capital punishment.
Okay, the other question is, Rabbi,
why did he spare the Dor HaFlaga? Because even though they rebelled against him, but they had Abba Vareyut B'nehem. You see that God hates
the Noahide laws?
They rebelled against God. Means they worship the Avodah Zarah.
Rabbi.
Any of the seven is from the Goy is capital punishment.
No, but why was
the Goy breaks any of the seven is
so
capital punishment.
So why weren't they destroyed then?
That's Rashi's question. Rashi says because they had Hav of Areyut B'nei. That's Rashi's whole question.
Rabbi.
They worshiped the Avodah Zarah. It's capital punishment to worship the Avodah Zarah or any of the seven. Why would they spare? Because Rashi says, unlike the Dor HaMabul, there was love and friendship between them. So Shalom is so great that God will look away the other sins as long as there's peace between people. When there's machlokes between people, so that is, God will not tolerate.
This is what was happening in Sodom and Gomorrah then. They must have had the same kind.
They hated, they're wicked against people. They cut people in half, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Cut off the feet, stretched them.
Right?
Didn't they do that?
It should be cruel.
Yes, sir. What's your question? Age before beauty. Age before beauty.
Don't we learn that?
Just give you the website. We'll go and get Alexander Van Dyken's.
I love to return to
the Abraham, what did you have to say?
Abraham, fire away. We have a meeting.
Yes, okay, so we see that incident from Abraham. So what happens if a person's down in Shemar Esra and you have these collectors in the middle of the you have to stop in the middle of Shemar Esra?
Rav Abraham Berkowitz, Rav Soloveitchik asked your kasha. Rav Soloveitchik asked your kasha, there's a whole schmooze. You have to come back manana. Abraham was communing with God, right? Three shnoras came. He said, God, I'm sorry, I got to put you on hold. Don't go away. Let's say the three shnoras were coming when Abraham was davening Shemar Esra. He was davening Shemar Esra and the three shnoras came. Would he interrupt?
No.
Why not? Why not?
Yeah, what's the difference? Yeah.
Stay tuned! Cliffhanger, this I have an answer for. You have to come back manana. That's Rav Soloveitchik's kasha. What's the difference? He interrupted to take care of the three shnoris, and if you're davening Shemoneh Esrei, even if a snake is crawling on your leg, and you know it's not a poison snake, you can't leave. What's the difference? Stay tuned. It's called a cliffhanger. This way you have to come back tomorrow.